by the books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the books. Dave Ross here at the Mick Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Got a lot of football talk to get to. We cannot wait for football season here. And again, if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, you should be so right now. $175 going to cover you all the way through the Super Bowl. We'll get to a couple surprise bets that we don't know about yet. That's in said betting guide, Jensen, later on. Our best bets. Golf is underway as well. People, Scottie Scheffler out there right now at the 3M Open. And we're going to break down the Cincinnati Bengals in a little bit more detail. But right now, very interesting from the beginning of the year to where we are in Major League Baseball. We'll talk about that right now in this edition of the Daily Diamond. By the way, that crack of the bat will never get old to me, Jensen. This is our second year now doing Daily Diamond. It is yeoman's work that you do each and every day on this fine program to bring people the best baseball information that you can get. I might be biased, but I think it's top-notch. Now, Gil Alexander does a really good job of this as well over in a numbers game with Kelly Bidlin daily right after us here. So, again, keep watching and listening if you're doing so once we're done. And he talked about a bet that I think you liked as well at the beginning of the year, which was potentially the Dodgers to go under their win total of 102.5. Let's hear from Gil talking about that very wager.
The LA Dodgers under 102.5 wins. These are adjusted season win totals. Kelly, like last year, I just simply don't believe the Dodgers are incentivized in any way to try to eclipse this. I think they're going, the only thing that matters to this franchise, and rightfully so, is the postseason, is winning a World Series. All they care about is getting the one or two seed. And right now, the Brewers and the Dodgers are comfortably clear of everybody else in the National League. In other words, the Dodgers and Brewers, Dodgers are 64-38, Brewers are 63-38. The next best team is the Braves at 58-42. So right now, with still obviously more than a quarter of the season left, talking about 60 games left, right now it's comfortable, but I just don't think there's a race. And remember, the Dodgers didn't end up with the number one seed last year. They didn't end up with the best record. The Brewers did. So I'm going under 102.5 just from a baseball management of games standpoint.
That's fantastic stuff. My first question is Gil doing the show from heaven? I mean, that looks beautiful, that background behind him, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network or YouTube TV. But, Jensen, the bigger point here, the Dodgers under. I think that's a play you liked as well at the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah, it was one of the only two win total bets I made all year, and I took them both in our VSiN MLB Futures draft. Found an under 102.5 at even money. And, Dave, it's been one of my favorite win total wagers the last couple of years is betting the Dodgers under, because they don't. And Gil eloquently stated it. They don't care about the regular season. It's about getting healthy in September, getting ready to go through October, and they will do what is necessary to back guys off, especially now with the Ohtani knee inflammation issues. They're still working Blake Snell back. Tyler Glasnow still trying to get his way back. So they still have some piece. Will Smith is still going to be out another month. They still have key pieces that are trying to get back healthy so they can be ready not only for September, but also the stretch run through what they hope is a return to the World Series for a three-peat. Now, right now, FanGraphs has the Dodgers projected at 162. So a couple of wins breathing room under there. And we always say it, Dave, it's harder to get wins than it is to get losses. Yep. And so if they do decide to scale guys back, then you're kind of in a great spot there. I wanted to throw a couple other ideas at you. And with the win total market, a great friend of the program, Jim Bowden, who hosts the award-winning Front Office show on Sunday mornings on LME Network Radio Sirius Channel 89. I thought of you when I saw it because it involves your Metropolitans. Here is Jim Bowden on a potential trade involving Freddie Peralta and where he might go.
They're not a good team, Jim. They can't hit, right? But so why would they make a move for someone like Freddie Peralta when they, after the season, then they can't give him a qualifying offer, they can't get a draft pick, and they're probably not going to re-sign him?
Yeah. So you have to look at it this way, right? If you're going to go for it, right? If you're two games out in the wild card, if you think you got a chance to get a wild card and get in the playoffs, and that's what you want to do because you have new owners coming in here and you don't want to be sellers on August 3rd, if you want to go for it, you can't make a big trade, right? You can't sit there and trade Ethan Salas, the catcher. You can't sit there and trade your best prospects. You just can't. And if you want to take a shot without giving up too much, Freddie Peralta might be a guy. If your pitching room thinks that they can make Peralta closer to what he was a year ago with Milwaukee, get him out of New York, get him out of the pressure, get him in San Diego. And if you think your pitching people can get him back to where he was, take a chance on the rental. The price is Cash Mayfield, who is a third or fourth starter at best. He's 2 or 3 years away. But if he makes it, it's probably a back of the rotation starter, right? At least that's the view that I'm getting from a lot of scouts that have been watching him closely this year. So would I give up a future third or fourth starter to take a shot on Peralta if I'm going for it? Yeah, probably, because you're not going to be able to trade for Scooble. Joe Ryan's not available. I would do the same thing for, say, a Kevin Gausman, right? If you can get Gausman, but I don't think you can get Gausman for Mayfield. I don't think you can get Clay Holmes for Mayfield, but you may get Peralta. And I think if you're going for it, that's the kind of deal you make.
Beautiful. Absolutely Jensen. Love it. And it just centered around your Padres thought too, because you're like, okay, if San Diego's going, they obviously need starting pitching. Everyone and their brother is going to be calling the Mets on what that price tag could be for what it's worth. And you know, Jim very much laid it out. Cash Mayfield right now, number 4 overall prospect, at least entering the season for the San Diego Padres. 21-year-old left-hander, Dave. ETA to the majors, I think Jim's right on with it, about a year or two more likely into 2028. But you want to try and get something for your investment there. And it wouldn't shock me if AJ Preller, as we alluded to, is looking to buy rather than to sell, because, you know, we look at where the standings are. San Diego, the offense looked much more chipper. Ironic I say chipper because they're playing the Braves. There's a little more fight in the group and a little more thump, and that's what we've been asking for. So San Diego's 3 games out of a playoff spot entering play today. They're up against it when I believe it's Chris Sale on the mound today, and yikes, this could be a bad one with Griffin Canning on the other side. But more, I'll get your take, because I thought that intrigue of the Freddie Peralta trade, a 1-for-1, I think is interesting anyway. But secondly, that does help David Stearns on the New York Mets side, talking about Christian Scott, talking about Nolan McClain, the young pitchers there.
Yeah.
Might be mutually beneficial if San Diego thinks they're in the fight.
Yeah, Zach Thornton could be a piece of this rotation going forward for the young baby Mets here. I kind of like it, Jensen. I really appreciate Jim's thoughts on that as well. In our DC days, always appreciated his kind of ideas as a GM as to when to go for it, when not to go for it. I'm picking up what he's putting down, and we've been talking about this with AJ Preller. He just, to me, I mean, he's waved the flag before in the past. He has. But it feels like he's the type of general manager that still wants to stay in the fight. And that's the type of move I think that would make tremendous sense. I haven't, you know, I want to nibble on this baseball team. I've talked about them for the better part of a week, that if you're looking deeper a little bit in the National League, and I know that, again, the Dodgers don't fear anybody, but, you know, if they saw them in the playoffs in a shorter series, they go, oh, no, we got to deal with these guys again. Like, it would be interesting to see if they tried to fortify and make a wild card run. Because, again, if those guys come to life, and they're starting to a little bit, you know, the Merrills and the Machados and the Tatis Juniors of the world, I mean, they've got the firepower, you would think, in the lineup to live up to what they thought they would be all year. And they got off to a really good start, and then they just hit that big swoon in the middle, and they feel like they're starting to come out of it. If you could guarantee me that AJ Preller is going to keep that core together and make a move like you're alluding to here, Jensen, that's a play-on team for me. That's going to be a play-on team, and, you know, hope that that offense keeps coming back around to where I think we thought it would be. Like, we didn't see this coming, Jensen, that they'd be this bad offensively the way they've been through 100 games.
Agreed. And I think that's the other part, as I've alluded to for several weeks now, that this deadline, you are not going to know the fair amount of sellers and or buyers until maybe the last couple of days before August 3rd, because you have so many teams that are still so close to a playoff spot. So I don't think a lot of these GMs want to wave the white flag before they've given their team the maximum amount of runway. That being said, they've five-game slate here for Major League Baseball. A handful of day games. We got Padres and Braves finishing up their series, as well as the Twins and the Guardians. Afternoon affair north of the border, Rays and Blue Jays, and then a couple of night games, Diamondbacks, Cardinals, Royals, Tigers. I don't have anything in pocket, but if people listening want some leans at this point, I would look at the run line for the Braves over the Padres, just knowing how elite Chris Sale has been. That is an angle for sure that I think I'd want to back the way that Atlanta's offense has looked. And Griffin Canning has been known to give up some loud line drives. So I think that might be an advantageous spot. I would say the same with the Tigers at home tonight against the Royals. I think that's a spot you can attack. It's Randy Dobnak, former Uber driver turned major league pitcher, is starting for the Royals. And you have Troy Melton on the other side here for the Tigers. So again, I'm going to wait a little bit closer to some game times. As we said, top of the show, really nice day yesterday. I want to wait and see some lineups for these day games as well against some of these aces. Again, Chris Sale for the Braves, Gavin Williams going for the Guardians as well. So that's my two leans on the run lines right now. Braves -1.5 and then the Tigers -1.5. But we'll wait to lock those in once we get some lineups and some more data.
Padres are +380 to make the postseason. I'm going to wait a day in case they lose to Chris Sale and the Braves today. That thing hits $4 tomorrow, Jensen. Maybe we'll have an ad to the show tomorrow on the Friday edition. When we come back, let's talk more football and break down those Bengals. Do we really like them to possibly win the North? We'll discuss next right here. VSiN by the books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We talked about a lot of these specials that we have here at the network. This is a really good one. The Early Bird Special continues through the Super Bowl in February of next year. So what do you get for that $175 when you sign up today? Daily best bets, betting splits data, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video access, and that NFL betting guide that's out right now. It will be updated as well. Of course, college football betting guides coming up right around the corner. No better time than the present. $175 early bird special when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here continuing. Boy, it's been fun talking a lot of football. I feel like we're really getting energized here just a couple weeks away from the Hall of Fame game. Of course, training camps, preseason coming right around the corner. And then the real deal. We talked about the Bengals in hour number one. So again, please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast, and you can listen to that conversation on your time. But Jensen, this is one of those teams where, because the public, and maybe I'm part of the public in this one, really likes the Bengals, their win total is pretty high at 10.5. You can get plus money on that. You got to lay some juice at 9.5. And I am hearing that some sharps are on the under on this football team because it feels like this is one of those public teams. So I want people to be leery of that and know that before we break this football team. And it is a football team that I'm really high on, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the price point is advantageous to bet.
I appreciate you including me in those sharps there. I don't even have the Bengals in my postseason on the AFC side as published.
Shame on
in
you,
our
Jensen.
Decent NFL betting guide. No, but again, and I've said this to you and it bears repeating, I don't have a guarantee, not that we do with any starting quarterback, but the track record Joe Burrow and the injury history is really tough. And I love Joe Flacco as much as anyone else. And if you've not watched Quarterback on Netflix, you'll love him even more. He has got to be the biggest dork and one of the great quarterbacks of his era. And it's just, he's such a likable dude, and he's still got a howitzer attached to his right shoulder. But that is the unknown for me. I don't get a real feel one way or another on what I can rely on with the health of Joe Burrow. And that's fine. I totally respect people that are bullish. I am going to be those that are bearish, if you will, on where the Bengals are. Now, to that end, I do think this is going to be a great play on team for us in our circa millions entry this year, Dave. I do think we've got some great spots where we can find them. Dan Hoard, a radio voice of the Bengals, joined us earlier in the program, and he clearly said, he goes, week two, they're going to go to Houston. They're going to be underdogs. Guess what? Underdogs head-to-head in that Cincinnati and Houston series have covered and won the last six straight. So that might be an auto bet for us, regardless of what happens in week one for the Bengals when they host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the ending portion of their schedule is pretty advantageous because they get a lot of their big games at home. They'll have the Chiefs in the middle of December at home. You'll get the Ravens on New Year's Eve, where they've already said we're going to wear the white stripes. If you are into superstition, they're pretty damn good record-wise with the white stripes. And then who knows if the game against the Browns there at home will mean anything in Week 18. It is the beginning schedule that really frightens me with four road tests in the first 7 weeks. And let's be honest, Zach Taylor has not been a guy that has gotten this team started fast. So I don't have a quarterback health continuity that I can really trust. I don't have a coach that really likes to get his team going before week five. So that's part of the reason why I would be an under better on the win total for the Bengals this year.
And I totally get that rationale. And I'll say this, too. You mentioned that week two game against the Texans. Dare I say, for people old enough to remember it, the Eagles and the Redskins played on a Monday night game back in, I think it was 1990 or 91. Called it the body bag game. Brian Mitchell, a buddy of mine, ended up having to play quarterback that day as a running back because they kept knocking out all the quarterbacks. And my worry would be, what does Joe Burrow's health look like after week three? Because week two, you're going to be at Houston. And then you got the Steelers on the road in Pittsburgh the next week. So you got edge rushers coming there. Like, we're going to find out a lot about that upfront unit and that offensive line, to your point, Jensen, as to whether they're really bettable after week three. Look, Tampa Bay, we'll see if they're pass rush. I don't know that is. We'll find out about Ruben Bain and company down there, but not necessarily a group that I'd be fearful of. But it would be week two in Houston, and it would be week three in Pittsburgh. If they can survive those tests, and Jensen, it might not even be about wins. Of course, you'd love to get the wins, but it's about how many sacks do they give up in those 2 weeks, specifically week two against Houston. If they can keep that to three or under, and I know three still feels heavy, it feels like a lot. If you can keep that under that number, I'll be pretty optimistic about this team going forward because I do think the schedule is manageable. But it's all about protecting Joe Burrow. All of it is about protecting Joe Burrow. And Al Golden in the defense, as we talked about with Dan in hour number one, he does believe they've got edge rushers this year. They had no pass rush a year ago. And I know Hendrickson's gone. He's in Baltimore. But it feels like they feel like they've got enough to kind of to shoulder the load there without him now. So, Jensen, it's those two things. Can they protect their quarterback, and can they get after the other team's quarterback? If they can do those things much more proficiently than they did a year ago, then I do think it's an overplay. It's a big if, and it's a big ask on both sides of the ball. But that's the ask if you're going to get them home. And I do like them, but I haven't bet it yet. Just because I like them to win the division and we got to come up with winners, again, doesn't mean that I have that in pocket to win that division. I got to know in week two if they can hold up to a really good, maybe the best pass rush in the NFL. If they can do that, they might be an ad for me after week two.
Okay, a couple of player props I'm going to throw at you. And just listening to what Dan Hoard was able to glean and kind of advise us, I went right to Chase Brown because I know our fantasy players out there are going to be drafting him high with just his workload, not only in the rushing department, but also in the receiving department. Let me throw out these season-long player props for you, Dave. You tell me if you'd like an over or under. Chase Brown, okay, Regular season rushing yards listed at 824.5. His regular season rushing touchdowns at 5.5, juice to the over at minus $1.25. Bullish on both of those, or would you rather have one of those? Oh, I'm assuming an over on one of those in pocket.
I would lean towards both overs, but what I would look at and see if I can get the combination with a guy like Chase Brown, because you know this, how much they use him out of the backfield. My only issue there, maybe why I could just play those rushing totals and the touchdown total over, is if they're going to switch the identity ever so slightly in the offense, then it is more running. And again, for the nuance of that, you can talk to any offensive lineman. They're going to tell you, you know, if we're attacking downhill as on a running play and with running offense, that's what we're doing, right? We're digging in and we're coming off the blocks hard. If I'm doing something out of the backfield, we're trying to trick you, right? We're going to try to let that pass rush come upfield. And we're not digging in on that three-point stance when we come out of our blocks and our breaks. So that's really the subtle difference here, Jensen, in those two totals. If they've got more of a physical identity, boy, you just don't talk about that with Bengal football very often, physicality. You think about, you know, pass pro and get the ball out there to those wicked receivers on the outside and Chase Brown coming out of it. But it does sound like, talking to Dan, they want to get back to running the football a little bit more to protect Joe Burrow, and that's more standard handoffs. And if that's the case, that rushing total could get over, and I do like the touchdown total over. But again, if you could find me a, you know, a combination package, if you will, and it's not too staggered, he's going to get a lot of reception yards, too, out of the backfield, that's for sure. I wouldn't mind playing over 1,000 combination, that's for sure, of rushing and receiving with Chase Brown. I think that might be, I don't want to say a safer way to go, but I know they're going to use him in both ways. But I do think there's the possibility of an uptick on just straight carries this year for Chase Brown.
I think what's fascinating, I'm looking at some of the other big receiver, at least running backs that receive a lot out of the backfield. We talked a little Atlanta Falcons earlier with Mark Zeno. How about Bijan Robinson to have 1,000 yards receiving is at plus 550. Oh. Jahmyr Gibbs is 12-1. The only reason I went on there, and you're not going to find Chase Brown there because you have receiving option A and Jamar Chase receiving option B in T. Higgins. But I did want to go there and see what a potential parlay could be. You got to lay $8 for Jamar Chase to have 1,000 yards receiving. If you go a little bit farther down the board, I'm looking to find T. Higgins here to see not only where his number would be, but also if you could parlay it together. Because you'd think if we get a healthy Joe Burrow, then both those guys are going to be inundated and have themselves two hell of a seasons individually.
It's a fascinating football team. And I mentioned about it with Dan in hour number one. You know, Zach Taylor will be on the hot seat, Jensen. You know, we talked about that week two game. If it doesn't look good, let's just say they normally come out of the gate slowly. And that Tampa Bay game, I'd be nervy about that in week one. If it went south there and they can't protect Joe Burrow in week two, I'm not saying they'd make a change that early, but that's the other side of this coin here with the Bengals. If they get off to what they traditionally get off to, which are really poor starts to begin their season. When we come back, we've got some surprises, three NFL bets that we don't know about. We're not privy to. We're going to find out next.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Thursday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Going to get to our best bets here in just 1 second. We are underway at the 3M Open. Jensen, we got a rabbit. His name is called Vince Whaley. 4-under through 7, got a 3-shot lead in the rest of the field. I do not have any Vince Whaley first-round leader tickets, Jensen. So not exactly the type of news I want to hear, but a lot of my guys haven't teed off yet. Scottie Scheffler is 1-under par through 3. Did you take any first-round leader bets or just the top 20s in the placement markets?
Yep, just the placement markets for me. Short and sweet. We'll see what happens with everyone coming back across the pond. And the TPC Twin Cities, very gettable, it looks like, early this morning.
Lucas Glover and Rasmus Højgaard have made a couple birdies, so they've closed the gap to 2 shots off the lead at 2-under par early. Let's get back to this NFL conversation. It's been a lot of fun, and maybe some surprises out there in the futures market. We can't stress it enough. If you are going to bet the NFL, we know you are, then you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. You're going to get access to all of the picks from all of our hosts. And what I like about it, Jensen, is we all have our rationale for how we get to certain bets, right? And I think all you can ask for in the betting market is tell me why you're making that bet, right? And look, we advise, certainly if you're out there listening and maybe it's not your cup of tea, you should be able to trust our people here at the network. They're going to give you the best of what they got. And if you want to blindly follow some of our people, I would advise that because we're going to give you real reasons for why we're making these bets. So again, we do not know these bets that our producer today, PJ Glasser, has picked. So these are surprise wagers, I do believe. Jensen, do we have number one that we can put up on the board? Do we have a surprise bet here? Yes, we do. And it's going to be the Chargers, the Bolts, with the other Harbaugh, Jim, over 9.5 wins at minus $1.30. I don't have any questions about the head coach or the quarterback. Do you?
I do not. This is a playoff team for me this year. One of the three wild cards. I have the Broncos repeating as AFC West champions. And again, the Chargers are the second betting choice, or at least of our 23 experts and analysts who submitted their picks for each division winner. 11 of the 23 have the Chiefs. 8, and I believe including you, are one of those 8 that have the Chargers. And then 4 of us picked the Denver Broncos to go back and win. Dave, again, we've had many conversations about the Chargers, and one of the burning questions for me will be, can you guarantee me they'll actually have some health on the offensive line this year? Well, if you give me that, then, you know, you can understand why people are bullish on this team. I think also people are bullish because you get the wizard, you get the geek himself, Mike McDaniel, back in the lab. He doesn't have to do press conferences and worry about what he's wearing on the sideline. He can do what he's really, really good at. So I'll kick it back to you, because I think when you lose Jesse Minter as the DC, now the head coach there for Baltimore, you're going to have, you know, a little bit of a scheme change. Chris O'Leary, who was a safeties coach, is now the DC there. It's still a pretty strong unit, and maybe one that people might overlook a little bit. Akeem Mezidore in there as a first rounder now. You go along with Derwin James and the rest of the stars there.
Oh boy.
What is the biggest reason that you are bullish for the Chargers, not only on an over win total play, but maybe even more aggressive than that?
You're reading my mind. I think this is a cheap price to lay $1.30 on this team to win 10 or more football games. I would look at the adjusted win total as well. You mentioned up front, that's, you hit right on the key, right off the top. It's, can you guarantee me that Herbert's going to be upright? He ran for a ton of yards last year because he was running for his life back there, right? You don't want that. You don't want all those rushing yards from Herbert. We all know he's got a pretty good right arm. He can get the football out. He doesn't need to use his legs all the time. They were by necessity, not out of anything, any other reason. I think I can guarantee you that, because when you give me Rashawn Slater back in the left side and you give me Joe Alt back in the right side, Jensen, dare I say, that is the best re-addition of any football team and any offensive line in the entire NFL. And I'll give you an example from last year. I was not bullish on the Bears this time last year. And we were all talking about Ben Johnson and everything else. What did they do that really made the Bears a winning team last year? They got a whole new offensive line that they brought in with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams. And it worked in year one with those dual-headed running backs. That's what the key to success is going to be for Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert and the Bolts. Yeah, we get enamored with the flash of the right arm. And he can. He can spin it with the best of them, right? That's not the way that they want to win. That's never going to be the way that Jim Harbaugh wants to win. He wants to win with defense. He wants to beat you up on both lines of scrimmage. And now they've got the personnel to do exactly what Jim Harbaugh wants to do. And they were still playoff teams without the ability to do that. And now he's got the personnel back in-house to do it. Jensen, these aren't just two guys on the offensive line. These are Pro Bowl quality guys at left and right tackle. Arguably two of the best five in the league at either position. So as long as those guys stay upright, Justin Herbert's feeling like, oh my goodness, this is as good as it gets. I don't have to run for my life anymore. I can let plays develop down the field and use that big arm that I have to get out to those weapons that we have. I love this football team. I love the identity of this football team. They never stray from it. You know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to punch you in the mouth. And if you can't handle getting punched, they're going to knock you out. Jensen, I love this football team. I think they're winning the division. I know everybody loves the Chiefs this year. I am big on the other Harbaugh that we've forgotten about out there in L.A., and that's Jim. And I think this football team is loaded for bear this year.
Going to be fun to watch. All right. Door number two for the NFL future bets that we have is the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC East. Another team that I am picking for my postseason list, but they're not a division winner for me. I have the New England Patriots to go back and win this division. Buffalo here, Dave, and even in our VSiN NFL betting guide, one of the write-ups was on the under 10.5 wins. They have the 23rd toughest of 32 schedules. Were you one of the people that selected the Bills to reascend to the top of the AFC East?
I did. And I got to tell you, one of the only reasons why is because I like Joe Brady, but I'm like, okay, like we're going to switch things up and keep in-house and move on from Sean McDermott. I'm not saying that there's going to be mutiny on the bounty in that locker room here, but if it doesn't go well early, you better believe with the veteran roster that they have, Jensen, there's going to be some, why do we do this? Why do we make this change? Like, why? Because we already know what this guy is. Sometimes you want to make a change, you got to go outside of the building. And they did not do that. And that's the one issue I have with back in the Bills this year. The reason why I did not pick the Patriots, and I know you did, I am concerned about the Vrabel situation. Not about the coaching. We all know he can coach. But because all the off-field stuff that happened in this offseason, again, if it goes south there early, people are going to be like, wait, you're telling me what to do? When allegedly some of this other stuff was going on? So I have questions about both those head coaches going in. So I went with, I think, the team that's got more talent in Buffalo at $1.25. But I'm not mad at you for that Patriots pick. If they win, that covers up everything that happened in the offseason in New England. But I'm going to back Joe Brady. But if it goes south early, I might be looking to get out of that position, Jensen, because it could go really south if they don't win early right away. People are like, why did we keep this guy? We should have gotten rid of everybody.
Boy.
We got one more to get to.
Yeah, first 4 weeks.
Go ahead.
Texans, Lions, Chargers, Patriots, and then the Rams in week five.
Oh, boy. We could have coaching questions if it doesn't go well off the jump. Okay, our last of the blind resume. These are all picks, by the way, that are in the VSiN betting guide right now when you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. How about KOC for Coach of the Year? It's pretty juicy at 30-1. Hey, I didn't make this pick, but Jensen, I can understand it because if like you can make Sam Darnold what he was 2 years ago, and then Sam goes to Seattle and wins a Super Bowl. I think a lot of people attribute that to KOC. If you can flip Kyler Murray back to the number one pick that he was in yesteryear, that ticket could be live, right?
Yeah, I didn't pick the Vikings to make the playoffs on my NFC side. It just gave me a thought, though. I do have the Ravens in the Super Bowl, and so I'll probably have to look at some Jesse Minter Coach of the Year odds and see where we're at there, because you could obviously understand that's a correlated play should that transpire. But hey, man, these have been fun. We are just wetting the whistle of getting this stuff ready. Just a reinforcement of why our NFL betting guide at VSiN.com, as good an investment you can make at this time of year. Hey, we're just 2 weeks from tonight. We will have professional football in Canton, Ohio. Cardinals, Panthers going to tee it up. So excited to continue to dive in as we inch ever closer to the start of the NFL preseason.
You know, I've called it, fake football for a lot of years, the preseason. I am itching for a little fake football. Give me that. I'll take the faux football, if you will, until we get to the real stuff come September. We are just jonesing for a little bit of that. All right, when we come back, let's get to our best bets. I'll reiterate some of the plays that I had in golf at the 3M Open, Jensen, because some of those guys have not teed off as of yet. And if you can still get them in the live betting market, we'll update that and get your baseball plays as well. That's all next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in end of VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. It's been a lot of fun doing this program on this day, as always, with great conversations with Dan Hoard, Mark Zeno. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Check out those conversations on your time. Did want to give out a couple top 20 plays here before these guys tee off. Scottie Scheffler is, by the way, on the course right now, 1 under par through 4. Vince Whaley is the leader at 4 under. He is through 8 holes right now, early in the coverage today. Played Maverick McNealy at +$1.05 for top 20. Jackson Suber for +$1.50 price point. And taking a shot on Aaron Wise. Yeah, you remember that name from a couple years ago. He is back playing good golf again at 4-1 for top 20s. Those are out there. So again, if you're invested in golf and want to get invested in some of the guys that haven't teed off, that is one way that you might want to go. Jensen, very quickly, you've got some top 30 plays out there and some Major League Baseball plays that we want to give out to the people today as well.
No baseball plays just yet. We're going to wait for some lineups here this afternoon and later on tonight, just 5-game slate. But yes, invested a short card for this 3M Open. 3 top 20 plays, including ties. At DraftKings, Kurt Kitayama at +$1.05, Tom Kim at +$1.18, Maverick McNealy +$1.12, and then Mac Meisner, a top 30 finish, including ties, at +$1.18. I do want to throw out a couple emails. You got a great one from our fan mail, buythebooks@vsin.com, as well as me. I'll throw it over to you because a couple of great queries and ones that we really do appreciate when people touch base and have the questions that they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe that first one we're going to see here, if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network and YouTube TV, is going to be from George, I do believe. Let me see if we can find that exact email here.
Yep.
But again, we do appreciate, here it is. Hi, how much do you play in a one unit bet? I feel most handicappers don't reveal it on the air. Love your show. Thanks, George. George, we appreciate you. And this is always interesting, Jensen, because for me, a one-unit play would be $100. That's the way that that's the way I use it. Hey, bigger players, Jensen, that could be $1,000 for a one-unit play. So we do not shame people for what their unit amount is. But when we talk about it in the course of this show, at least from my perspective, that's what I say. If I've got a full unit play, that would be $100. Obviously, a quarter unit play would be $25, which is what I'll do a lot of times, say, in these first-round leader markets in golf. Is it the same for you?
It is the same, and I make note of that, especially for our VSiN Pro subscribers. You will always see a unit specifically allocated in the various unit plays. Yesterday, I think 6 or 7 two-unit plays, really was finding some advantageous spots on the MLB card. One three-unit play, unfortunately, didn't get home for us, but I believe we went 6-1 on our multi-unit plays, considering the two-unit play. So that was a really nice, profitable day. Totally agree with you. Your unit is your unit. If you want to kind of scale it to where we are, and again, if one unit is $10 for you, absolutely A-OK. Whatever your bankroll is and what you're comfortable with, we just provide ours so that there is obviously full transparency. Another good one that I got, Dave, and this is a good exercise that we've had before. This is from Richard, and he says, "Good day, gentlemen. Love the show and watch every day. Love your insights into sports and sports betting. My question is, I have a ticket with Spain winning the World Cup with the Tampa Bay Rays winning the American League pennant at 48-1. First of all, Richard, you're man after me with the cross-board parlay. Love to see it. I was wondering how you would go about trying to monetize that ticket. Thanks, Jensen and Super Dave Ross are truly rock stars." Richard, great question. It's why we do the exercise week in and week out when we find these opportunities. And why, you know, Dave, you particularly on the futures market, always looking ahead, and you and I get creative. Sometimes it just organically happens during the show. Very much a pre-produced one when I was looking at the World Cup winners parlay with World Series winners. So right now, Richard, to kind of go along with you, I have the Spain leg already in pocket and across the line to win the World Cup, parlay with my Phillies to win the World Series. That's 109-1. What I would advocate for, because the American League is so open, I think you ride with it right now. Barring a huge collapse, the Tampa Bay Rays are going to find their way into the American League postseason. And then at that point, I would then kind of size up, what do you want your minimum ROI to do? We did this exercise with you, Dave, when you had your big futures ticket there for the circuit competition. It is really up to you, Richard. How much do you want to minimally, at minimum, get out of your ticket? So again, that is to each their own. Dave, would you advocate the same way, or would you want to get a little bit of peace home and kind of be on house money at this point?
Boy, I tell you, I love you're really the guy that kind of opened up my eyes to doing this. And we do a lot of these for fun, but they can be very, very profitable as well with these cross-board parlays. And to echo Jensen's sentiment there, Richard, we really appreciate the email. And you're sitting pretty here with this ticket. I'd kind of gauge it as it goes, but I would think about getting back at least my stake bet. That's normally where I am, so that at least I feel like I didn't lose anything for doing all this fine kind of forward thinking, if you will. So, Richard, that's the way that I would look at it. And Jensen and I talked about it with my Blue Jays ticket. Where was I going to be comfortable if the Blue Jays didn't win that World Series? And we got to exactly that spot. And I think that's a really good way to do it. Where are you comfortable with what profit you'll accept if it doesn't go the way ultimately to cash that big ticket? If you can answer that question for yourself, Richard, you're going to be happy either way, of course, always looking for the bigger score. So I think that's what Jensen and I try to do here on a daily basis. If you've got one of those really good long shot tickets, make sure you're comfortable with the result when you can hedge, if you want to hedge at all. By the way, really good UFC card coming up. We're going to have Lou Finocchiaro on the program tomorrow. Lou's going to give us his winners that he sees at Abu Dhabi coming up this weekend. Got to get up early for that fight card here in the United States. I had Dan Tom on the program with me and Rob Moreno this week on First Strike. Please, wherever you get your podcast, take a listen on your time. Dan is a fantastic guest, and we broke down what we think we're going to see in the main event between Magomed Ankalaev and Bogdan Guskov.
Let's get to the main event here. Bogdan Guskov is a massive underdog, as we can imagine, against Magomed Ankalaev. And Dan, I guess, you know, normally people aren't in the habit of laying a big number. I know that some people may be new to the sport go, man, I just got to lay this over $5 price point on Ankalaev. There's no way he can lose. We've seen big favorites this year, and certainly you and I can go way back to where big favorites do lose. Do you see any danger on the massive side here of Ankalaev, because he's not your typical Dagestani guy? He's not looking to grapple. He's not looking for the submission game. We know that. Stand-up striker, does that give a guy like Guskov a puncher's chance?
Guskov always has a puncher's chance. He's got really underrated, not just power, but proprioception. Even though he's got really porous defense, he can fight with his hands down. He get hit a lot. He really does a good job at seeing the shots coming, which is why he prefers to counter-strike. And what you were touching on as far as dropping the ball, boy, that's appropriate, Dave, because Magomed Ankalaev is one of the least trustworthy favorites that you have out there. And we've heard this term, trust guys you don't want to bet as a favorite, which sounds crazy. Sounds counterintuitive if you're not in the betting world, right, Dave? But you know exactly what I'm talking about. And Magomed Ankalaev has definitely had those, like, brain fart moments. However, Guskov, not just his defense, but his gas tank is not the greatest. He himself has said he's only, you know, been to decision once, and that surprised him. And he didn't look good in round threes, by the way, when he's gone the distance, folks. And now he's taking this fight on short notice. For those reasons alone, I get why people are looking at Magomed Ankalaev maybe inside the distance to shave off some of that number. And I don't disagree, because he is a southpaw, right? And that's something I look at a lot in my analysis. Now, Guskov is technically 1-0 against southpaws. He beat a guy on short notice who was coming in on short notice. That was Billy Elekana. I believe that might have even been his promotional debut. And boy, Guskov, even though he wins that fight, it's kind of pathetic, man. Like, he looks lost. He doesn't really have jabs or, like, reliable entries or a process to, like, speak of exactly in the first place. But that's even further back with the southpaw. He's just very lost with the range. He really needed to, like, Elekana to really just tire out from the short notice, break down against the cage until he got that weird mercy choke. He does not look good against southpaw. So as much reservation as I got about Ankalaev, he's going to be a parlay piece in multiple ways for me this week, Dave.
Dan Tom is fantastic. Give him a follow on X at Dan Tom MMA. Does great stuff with USA Today. Breaking down these fights. Again, UFC, please check out First Strike with me and Rob Moreno. Rob does yeoman's work getting his numbers up on the show each and every week. We can now show those to you graphically as well. So the pod, Jensen, it's evolving every week that we do it. It's a lot of fun to do, and it's been very profitable as well. So please check out First Strike wherever you get it. And by the way, Daily Diamond, we get that out there every day for the people as well, Jensen, for your baseball picks. And that, too, has been very profitable. So please, we always say this on the network, We got a guy for just about everything. We're Gal. It doesn't matter. If you got the information, we're going to get it out there for you in our podcast du jour. But please, we urge you to check out the Daily Diamond and certainly First Strike on a daily basis.
Going to be fun, brother. And before you know it, we will start doing our millions, our surviving circa.
Oh, boy.
I can't believe it's already here. This year has just flown by. No question about it.
Yeah, I can't believe we're halfway through 2026 already. Where did the time go? The time for this show is done. But if you want more VSiN, of course you do. You've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube TV, VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. They're coming up next with a numbers game. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.